Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many people will have seen themselves that if you look out and see a fishing trawler coming back into harbour, you can often see seagulls flying around the back of it, and obviously they're looking for a meal much as they follow the plough or anything else like that. Gannets can only dive to about 30 metres, but a lot of the fish that people are bringing up, like plaice or cod, live much deeper than that, so they're normally unavailable for the gannets. Yet they can get at them if they come off the back of a boat, and they look different chemically than fish like mackerel that they could catch for themselves. And we can look in the bird's blood or in their feathers and look at what they've been eating without actually ever seeing the bird catch one of these fish.
So what did you actually do to find out how the fishing boats were affecting these gannets?
We attached small GPS units, just like the thing you'd have in your phone or your car. We make them waterproof, of course, and we put them right against the tail because these seabirds dive into the water, and this is just to protect the device. And we set them to record a position every 2 minutes. And then we catch the bird back again, which is quite an exciting thing in and of itself. We can download that GPS and we can see every 2 minutes where it was. And of course, if we know where it was one time until the next time, we can work out how fast it was going.
And then how did you relate that, what the birds were doing, to what the fishermen were doing?
All boats over 15 metres in length have to have a GPS on them, and they have to broadcast their position and record it and send it into a central database every 2 hours. And because boats travel in fairly straight lines, what we did is we drew a line between those points 2 hours apart and said the boat was probably moving pretty much in this straight line, so we could take points all the way along there every 2 minutes. And then we could relate a point in space that the gannet has and ask, where is the nearest boat?
So what trends emerged? What were the boats doing to the birds?
So we started off just looking a 30-kilometre circle, essentially, around every single point of every single trip of every single bird we had a GPS on, and just saying how many boats are there and how close is the nearest one. What we were looking for is essentially gannets can be doing one of two things. When they leave their colony, they're looking for food, they're hungry, they want to feed their chick. Because they're quite long-lived birds, they have a good idea of areas around the colony, so they tend to fly quite straight and fast, and you can see that in the GPS track. And when they're looking for food, they tend to go into circles and start curving around more. And essentially, as the track gets bendier and slows down, that's what we look at and think, well, the bird is going into foraging behaviour now. And we asked whether having a boat nearby increased the chance that the bird would switch from that kind of straight line commuting behaviour to the more bendy foraging behaviour.
And is that what you saw?
And we did. So 30 kilometres, there's no effect, and we're not even sure the birds could see a boat that far away. As it came in, at 11 kilometres out, that's when the chance of switching from that straight line to the more bendy line occurred. And the chance of switching got stronger and stronger the nearer they got to a boat. So they were clearly much more likely to go into this circling behaviour, which is symptomatic of looking for food, when they were near boats.
Any old boat, including, Alan Sugar's yacht taking a cruise down the channel, or was it just exclusively fishing boats? Because fishing boats come in more than one flavour, don't they? They don't just trawl. They may have rods and lines and things on there too.
Yeah, that's right. And we did try and separate that out. In the end, what we did was we split trawlers from non-trawlers. So these are all fishing boats bigger than 15 metres, so they're kind of commercial fishing boats. And we put, so anything like a long liner or a purse seiner was in one sort of category, and trawlers were in another. Different types of fishing boat can only fish effectively at different speeds. So we could classify the movement of the boats into whether they were probably fishing or just kind of resting on the tide, waiting for it to change. And we found that the birds responded to these different types as well. So if the vessel was a trawler, then they were even more likely to switch from this kind of straight line, know where I'm going movement, to a more curvy foraging, looking for food movement. And so we think that they're actually able to kind of distinguish between a resource that's worth following up on and one that isn't, and that actually varies depending on the type of fishing boat.
And so the birds have learned, when I see a fishing boat, that equals the fishermen may be trawling up some stuff which they don't want, they're going to chuck it over the side, and therefore it's a free meal for the bird without too much effort.
Yeah, for the birds, this is, it is an easy meal. They're very large birds, so 3 to 3.5 kilograms in weight. And because they have to hit the water to get some food, then they've got to haul that weight back into the air. So actually, knowing a guaranteed kind of source of food is quite useful energetically for them. However, there is some suggestion, some other work from some scientists. It's not proven either way that this may be the equivalent of going to McDonald's every single day. If you use it too much, it's fine as part of a balanced diet. But if you rely too much on discards, it may be detrimental.